Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. We'll have more from the Ministry of Truth. We've got more phone calls about this. Is your one of your roommates going to be home at some point?
No, I called both of them, and they're both not home.
This is the best thing. The best thing, what that means is that you're going to have to, nobody will have been home between this morning, and when you go home this afternoon, the bug will still be there.
Kiki, my friend Kiki has the key to my house, and she's off work.
Make her go over and do it.
I can see if she'll go over and check for me.
I just want to know if it's still there.
I want to know too, but I really want to take a shower.
Rick, about the bug in Sarah's shower. Well, we already read this one. This is the one that says that he sees masses of them gathering on the I-5 overpass. Let's see. If Sarah had a broom handle to move the quarter over to take the picture next to the insect, why didn't she just squash it and put the thing out of its misery? Or maybe her misery. Just start stabbing it with a blunt object while saying, die, die, die. She'll be self-empowered and free in no time.
No, because I remember the last time I saw one, and those things move really, really fast. And if I got that thing on the broom...
Grab the broom from you.
And it would just, scamper right up onto my arm and
jump onto your face. Jump onto your eye. Rick, you just know the bug won't be there when Sarah goes to check. It will have moved around under her bed in a box to jump out at her later. Let's see. What else do we have? One more here. Let's see. Rick, just wash the damn thing down the drain. This is a good lesson as to why you should both be washing every day. If you do that, the trap in the drain would remain filled with water and the thing couldn't clot. I'm just reading the email.
Just because I don't wash my hair every day doesn't mean I don't take a shower every day. I do.
Okay. It's 503-733.
Don't be a jerk.
I'm not being a jerk. I don't know your bathing habits. I don't know what you wash, how, or when. I have no knowledge as to your self-cleaning habits. It's not a thing.
Well, and plus, I share the bathroom with my roommate.
You don't have to explain to me.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
It's 503-733-2970. We'll get some of these calls here in just a second. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the South, CNN Radio correspondent and man about the world, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Rick, how are you? Did I sense somebody getting a little defensive there just a second ago?
All I'm saying is this. Here's all you need to know is that this morning Sarah shaved her underarms in the bathroom sink. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
That is your insight into the world and life of Sarah Dillon. Hey, so there's this weird thing going on the CNN prep sheet here today where it says that there is news about Anna Nicole Smith, but they're just not going to tell anybody what it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, if you believe all the tabloids, they say, she had lupus. I mean, who knows, We'll find out what she died from, but, I just don't know about this whole deal.
Well, the Inquirer has reported that she, and I swear to God, I'm with Tim Riley in this, and I thought we were done talking about Anna Nicole Smith. I thought once she was in the ground, except for the DNA thing, that we weren't going to have to hear anything more, but the Inquirer has said that she died of pneumonia.
Yeah, and that's very possible because of some kind of a fever she had, and that's why they were saying that the body was decomposing at a rapid rate.
So here's the thing. Here's what makes it interesting to me. It says here the cause of Anna Nicole Smith's death has been determined but will not be announced for 2 weeks in order to give police more time to finish their investigation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Remember when the police said that the investigation was still open?
Yeah.
And that I'm wondering about.
Now, if it was pneumonia, there's nothing to investigate. Pneumonia, whatever. She got sick, she died, whatever. If they're investigating something, that indicates to me that it was in some way drug-related.
Could be. It could be. And we're just, this is about the deadline when we were supposed to know, but they've pushed this thing back a little bit now, so we'll have to wait and see. I just really wonder about the whole deal. We had so many people that were going. Of course, some of them were probably getting paid, but they were doing interviews, and they were saying she had a fever of 105, she didn't want to go to the hospital. I just don't know.
All right. And so the only other question I have here is, it seems like we ought to know all of this stuff by this point, is that, are they testing somebody? Are they doing any tests to find out who the dad is? And I only ask that because once that's done, then we can forget about this whole thing.
March 16th in the Bahamas is the next big dog and pony show.
Yeah, March 16th. And so they're gonna get all of these, nine guys that are claiming to be the dad? They're going to send them down there? They're all going to line up in a room at once? Or
is it up to nine now? A couple of people in Portland or something?
I don't know. If you read the New York Post yesterday, O.J. Simpson is claiming to be the father as well. So there you go. I swear to God, it's true. I'm talking to Roop about it. So
he needs the money.
Yeah. So, all right. So March 16th is the next date I should be circling in my calendar.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic.
And then, of course, the day after will be St. Patrick's Day. You really want to circle that one.
Hey, we're going to be, just so you know, there's a little shop talk here. We're going to be talking to your friend Tyler Moody.
Tyler.
He's going to be in town. He's going to be in Portland tomorrow. He's going to be hanging up in the final hour of our show tomorrow.
That's going to be great. He'll enjoy that.
We're going to speak glowingly of you. Since he is going to be here tomorrow, now, are there any compliments about you or specific character traits about you that you would like us to praise to him in a seemingly offhanded fashion while he's sitting
there? I don't know. The go-getter Ed. Say he's a go-getter. He jumps in the car. He goes everywhere. He jumps on a plane.
We're going to say that you are the glue that holds CNN radio together.
Yeah, you tell him that. He won't. See, we got a response to you guys.
All right. Fantastic.
That itself could be funny.
All right, brother. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon.
Now make sure you put me out. You put me out when he's there.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah, no, we'll book you tomorrow. We'll make sure that you're on the show.
That'll be great.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Trying to make sure that he can hear the clinking of the glass of the ice inside your cocktail glass.
Absolutely, and I won't sleep a bit tonight. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
All right, Rick. Thank you.
There you go. That's Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio. I never really thought about that. Tyler is the boss of these guys?
Yeah, he's the head guy.
He sounded like he was about 20.
Remember when Bob Costantini was talking and he said that Tyler's number one, like Laura Caviezel's way up there?
I don't really listen to what Bob Costantini says when he's on the air.
the tide has turned on Bob Costantini.
He just sort of comes on and just sort of drones on. So Tyler is their boss. Well, maybe I shouldn't book anybody. Now I'm all unnerved. I don't want them to be. It's like at Intercom. We were trying to do the show, and like the program director at that time, this guy Alan, would have some consultant in town, and they're expecting us to do the show we normally do and to be, to be normal and to be ourselves. And meanwhile, there's some guy with a steno pad, like two studios away, taking long, copious notes on all the many flaws that our radio program is afflicted with. Let's take this call here. This is Stan. Stan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
I am, really?
Yes, you are.
Hey, thanks.
Okay.
I kind of feel stupid for saying it now, but this whole bug thing, what Sarah needs to do is take a spatula, right, with holes in it, duct tape it to that broom handle, because that way she can smash it, and she can see if it's totally dead, right?
All right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And then when you go over to the drain, you can use that to mash it, because it's not going to go down easy.
This is the
break it up.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to be mashing it.
We're not going to be squashing anything. All right. This is a really repellent call. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah, I know. You sound disappointed.
I just don't have it in me to smash it.
No, it's just horror. The whole thing is horrifying. What else do we have here? Rick, this guy sent me a link to the House Centipede entry in Wikipedia. Here's a link that tells you all you want to know about this bug. I, too, have seen one on the basement floor of a house I had in northeast Portland. I was alarmed by its frightening speed. When I turned on the light, it started to run around in circles in an increasing radius until it reached a crack that it could hide in. When I tried to tell people about it, no one knew what I was talking about. They felt I was fabricating it. How about this? Rick, if Sarah's only seen one of these in her home, there may be thousands more crawling around inside the walls. Did you hear that scratching? I did.
Oh, my God. I've been thinking that we had mice because Muppet has been going nuts about the walls lately.
You thought they were mice. Tens of thousands of those things lurking inside your baseboard. Try not to think about it.
Thanks.
Try not to think about it tonight while you're sleeping. Do you want to hear the worst story?
No.
Okay, here's a terrible story. And by the way, while we're on the subject, if it's not an insect and this thing that's in Sarah's bathtub, at least you hope it's still in the bathtub, if it's not an insect and it's not an arachnid, I just don't know what it is. It's like its own food group or whatever. But here's the story. I don't think I've ever told this. When I was living in Spokane, it was just a filthy place. And I've talked about this before, about how this apartment I lived in Spokane was actually just infested. There's just no other word. Just infested with spiders. Just filled with spiders. It was like the spiders had the place long before I moved there, and the spiders knew they were going to be there long after I was gone, and so they weren't really inclined to give up their space. It was like my own personal Joe's apartment. And I was just there, and the spiders had staked out their territory like years before I ever moved into this apartment. But I remember being in bed one night, and you can see the punchline to this story, and by punchline I mean horrifying conclusion to the story coming a mile away. But I remember just laying there in bed and just constantly feeling like I had to sneeze, just laying on my back in the bed, and I'm just sort of snoozing away, constantly feeling like I had the urge to sneeze, but I couldn't quite sneeze. And then I wake up, and of course what had happened is a spider was living on the ceiling above my bed, and the spider had just descended down like on a spider web and was just dangling right above my face, brushing against my nose while I slept. Just dangling from a web, just brushing against my nose. God only knows what he was doing. Trying to figure out whether just to walk up into my brain or whatever. You just wake up and there's a spider dangling literally like half an inch ahead in front of your face. That's a good feeling.
That is awful.
It is. It is awful, and now you'll think about it.
Well, no, because I'm thinking I'm safe from the thing in my bedroom because at least that stays in the bathroom, right?
Yeah, whatever you say.
Okay.
Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Later on, we'll do this Alice Cooper non-radio top five. At the bottom of the hour, we have the Suburban Perspective. At the bottom of the hour, actually, we'll do the Mystery of Truth. Later on, the Suburban Perspective. Jen Lane is going to be here and so forth. All right, we've got this. Rick, this email says, Rick, I heard you talking about some terrible records you bought. I want to know if this is the same record that I owned in 1983. You said it was an awful children's rap song. Please be playing. I was talking about this yesterday, and I realized that I hadn't played it yet. But then I went back. This is two stories in one, actually. So I bought this awful record at the Everyday Music, which is over by K2 in Southeast, I think. It's right off of Sandy. And so I'm over there, and I bought this awful record, and I bought it solely because it had what looked to be a rap song from about 1983 sung by a bunch of children. And so this guy had sent me an email, and he's like, I wonder if this is the same awful children's rap song that I owned. And so I'm pulling some of the audio off of it last night, and then I noticed something really weird. And I'll play you the rap part first, and then I'll play you the really weird part. So listen, let's see, where's the, okay, this is the awful children's rap song, first of all.
All right.
You can already tell it's terrible. I mean, it just screams, like 25 years ago.
Listen, everybody, do what we say. If you want to be safe at work, you play. Listen, please.
Where did you find that?
It's genius. I found it at Everyday Music for like a dollar. This is like that,
Look both ways when you cross the street. Be careful where you put your feet. Cross at a crosswalk or a stop sign. A green traffic light will do just fine. Stay on the sidewalk when you can. Whatever you do, have a safety plan.
Uh-huh. All right, so that was originally what I got the record for, and some the people who are my age may remember the Zap Rap, which was a teenage safety like a kid safety film that they would play in school about not picking up exposed power lines, and it contained the phrase, and the song was about a guy named Zach who found an exposed power line, and then being an idiot he decided to pick it up, and the song contained the phrase, Zach went up like the 4th of July, which is the thing that always stands out. Okay, so there's that. So there's this safety break song, which is the first thing on the kids' record. But then, as I'm sort of, I'm playing it and recording it to my computer so I can bring it in here to play, the song ends, and then it starts playing the second track on this record, which I bought last night. And then listen to this. Now, see if you can spot what's weird about this song.
Okay.
And this is me recording it last night to an MP3, and I didn't bother to edit down this intro bit. See if you can tell me what seems a little strange about this.
All right, everybody, join me. Circle.
This is a kid's record I found at Everyday Music.
In, right hand up, and come on in. Right hand up, and come on.
I guess it's some sort of
join hands in a circle.
Some sort of interactive thing. Have you spotted what I'm referring to yet?
Come on.
No.
Okay, let me ask you this. Recite for me now the lyrics. I'll have you, in fact, I'll have you and Tim do this, and we'll see. With this, see, this proves my point. Recite for me now, Tim, if you can remember them, the lyrics, as much as you can do this, however many you can do, to Jimmy Crack Corn.
I can only think of one line.
Yeah, okay. All I know is Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care.
My costume's gone away.
That's what I'm talking about right there. See? That's exactly Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care. My master's gone away.
My master's gone away?
Don't you remember Jimmy?
No.
How do you remember it going?
All I know is Jimmy Crack Corn. That's all I know.
Do you remember? You do remember the song, right?
I remember the song.
Okay, so listen to this version again. And so Laura and I both immediately noticed that last night as it was playing, that they've changed that line. And so then I had this horrible realization. I was thinking, because that's one of those songs that you just grow up singing. And it's Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care. Okay, and I don't understand what cracking corn means, first of all. Is cracking corn like shucking corn? Is cracking corn, is that like you're making something out of the corn? I mean, I guess that's an entirely separate point. But Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, repeat three times. Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care. My master's gone away. And then I started thinking about whether or not they just had me singing some hideous slavery song the entire time I was growing up. Because really, now that I think about it, there's really no other plausible explanation for why you would be singing those lines.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a song that does sound very, it does sound very rural in its construction and melody. And I don't know anybody who sang a version where they say, Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, as we go around the circle. Everybody I know grew up singing the other version. And so I just started, like, thinking back to all the time I was in grade school, and I just wondered if that's just one of those hideous things that, like, they never really noticed or thought about or cared about the entire time that I was growing up. And there's really nobody you can call to ask such questions to. Like, there really isn't, there's no, like, toll-free, like, it's not like the Butterball hotline. There's really no toll-free number you can call to ask whether Jimmy Crack Corn is about slavery. But the line, Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, My Master's Gone Away, at least strongly implies that they had me singing some hideous racist song all the way through, up through like fifth grade or something. So there's something to think about. And it's just one of those catch-up catsup things. That as soon as I played this last night, it was like all I could think about. And I'm like you. That as soon as I started listening to this version, I realized that I don't really know all the lyrics to Jimmy Crack Corn, mm-hmm. So God only knows what else the song contained that was hideously inappropriate that I was singing throughout my entire childhood.
A lot of the childhood songs that we sang were just really messed up.
Yeah, but that's messed up on like a whole different level. There's like Hansel and Gretel messed up, which is where it's all about child abuse and cannibalism. And then there's the Jimmy Crack Corn messed up, where it really does strongly imply that the song is, if not written by, at least being sung from the perspective of slaves, which just adds a whole like layer of disturbing weirdness. That's another point. Scotty's pointing out that there's other things like that. But all right, well, let's get these calls first before we present it further. Anyway, because I found it for like a dollar, and that implies. Anyway, so all the way through my childhood I was singing that song. And you don't really think about any of those lyrics until you sort of view them through the prism of adulthood. The whole thing is just disturbing. Rick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, I've got two things for you. One is on Sarah's hideous man-eating beast in the bathtub, and the other one's on the whole corn-cracking ditty. I had a girlfriend who was deathly afraid of bugs, couldn't even say the word. And I taught her how to use the extension on a vacuum cleaner to just suck them up.
Right.
And she turned into an absolute gladiator. Yeah, I mean, the bathtub was her coliseum, and she was sucking bugs up left and right, no problems. So give that a try.
I think I might. Thank you.
And because they're just going into a dusty hell, and you can just laugh at them.
All right.
The other thing on the corn cracking, I think Don and Mike did a whole bit on this the other night and collected all sorts of theories from their callers on what cracking corn is.
Somebody just emailed me. Somebody actually, and I swear to God, this is like a complete coincidence because I just bought this. I just bought this record just a couple days ago. But somebody, Rick, I know you don't listen to your station or anything, just being the program director and all. But Don and Mike, this guy says, did a whole hour on Jimmy Crack Corn. So I will say straight up, that's like a full-on screaming coincidence. I had no idea they talked about this because I just found this on vinyl.
does the email list what the various things are?
No, it doesn't. This guy just says Don and Mike did a whole hour on Jimmy Crack Corn. I had no idea.
So it was everything from cracking open a bottle of, like, corn liquor to cracking corn being some euphemism for just sitting around and shooting the breeze. And the whole thing was, since the master's gone away, they're saying maybe the master died. And so these guys are sitting around doing this stuff, and they don't care because they're not going to get in trouble.
See, and I'm less perplexed by the issue of who Jimmy is and why he cracks corn than whether or not they had a singing a slave song all the way through my grade school years. I mean, do you remember the song being written the same way with the line about the master's gone away?
Oh, absolutely.
So
the thing that I can't reconcile, they said something on the show the other night about that song being written, like, well after slavery was abolished, and so they were trying to speculate on whether the guy had borrowed from some old slave songs or whether he had just, you know, coined these phrases or, you know, come up with something else. So they weren't even clear on
well, great minds think alike, I guess. So, VX, I've got a bunch of people, yeah, Don and Mike talked about this last week. Now, why were they talking about it?
That's what I didn't catch. I came into the conversation about, you know, maybe 10 minutes into it.
So. All right. I guess I'll give credit where credit's due. So I guess they talked about this last week, did it just come up? Well, I guess you don't know. You didn't hear it. All right. So we'll have to figure out why they were even talking about it. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. There you go. That's, all right. Well, if they talked about it last week, then presumably the answer is out there somewhere. I mean, I can't imagine those guys talked about it and didn't come up with a solution. Well, we got some people who listened last week. Maybe we can figure out exactly if they got to the bottom of it. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break here. Coming up, we got more calls around the corner. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, the top five. Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective. Jen Lane, et cetera. You stay there. Here's Aerosmith, The Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show, it's 503-733-2970. In mere moments, we go to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. Coming up later on, the Suburban Perspective, the top five. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. We'll get these calls here, just a few. It's 503-733-2970. Jim Roop at 2 o'clock as well. About this guy smuggling things inside his record at LAX. Ladies and gentlemen, please make way for your personal savior.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Harold at the pump. Oregon gas prices are on the rise again. Have you noticed? Some places they got up like full cents in the past couple days. Well, the short relief is coming to an end. As a matter of fact, get ready for $3 a gallon gasoline. Sooner this year than last year. How soon? Well, it could be in the next couple of months or so. And it's no laughing matter. But nobody's saying why that's happening. Right now, California is the state with the highest average gasoline at $2.91 a gallon, followed by Hawaii and Nevada, and then us. Oh, here's another high-speed chase. This time, it's a teenager, a 17-year-old Idaho youth, got bored in his own state, decided to come to Oregon and cause trouble. They put an end to that. It was clocked at 153 miles an hour in a stolen Ford Mustang. This was a 28-mile chase on Interstate 84 between Murrow and Umatilla counties.
This is like the fourth story today about somebody going like 120 miles an hour.
This is out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, who would care out there, really? It's the second high-speed chase in as many days. This Ute comes from Star, Idaho. He's being held without bail until police can charge him as an adult. He was driving a stolen 2006 GT model Mustang. Oregon State Police set up spikes 20 miles further eastbound. The right tire was spiked, but the driver managed to go another 5 miles and hitting 130 miles an hour with one flat tire. But he was pulled over, got out of the car, and lying down on the ground waiting to be arrested. Well, if you can help it, please do not drink Armenian bottled water. You could die. The FDA is issuing a recall of a brand of Armenian mineral water because it contains arsenic.
I was planning on it. I was going to go home and drink a whole lot of things. I was just going to do nothing but eat food from Armenia all day.
Now, if you're an Armenian, perhaps you like this kind of water. It's called Jermuk brand. It's a mineral water, and it comes in green glass bottles. So far, nobody's died from it, but it can kill you. As a matter of fact, the exposure includes nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. The kidneys, liver, skin,
and nervous systems will be affected for a period of just a few days. Just like if you lived in Armenia today, really. If you want to go back to the old country, if you're a native Armenian,
if you'd like a little, if you'd like to reminisce a little bit, if you can't actually afford to fly there, you can give yourself the sensation of being back home for just pennies a day. Good God. Mick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey.
Every topic you talk about, I feel the need to call in and make a comment about.
Yeah, okay. That's because we're relatable. Yeah. It is relatable Thursday.
The nursery rhymes that you were talking about, I remember one, Ring Around the Rosie.
Yeah, which is about the plague. It's about the Black Death.
I'm a five-year-old kid thinking about the goddamn plague, and I'm going to die.
Yeah, no, it's kind of creepy when you think about it, actually. I mean, that's a nursery rhyme about something that killed off 30 million Europeans. Yeah, it's disturbing on every level.
And then, second of all, Sarah, I still need to watch it. Remember that story you did about the kid who fell asleep with the window open, cockroach went into his ear and buried himself for a few days and you can hear biting away?
I'm pretty sure. Is that a story? Did we read that or is that something you've just hallucinated?
Oh, no, that's something you did, because as soon as you did it, I got on your website to try to find pictures of the cockroach because they said they'd pulled it out.
I don't remember this story at all about a cockroach buried inside of Tim. Do you remember this? A cockroach buried in a kid's ear?
No.
This sounds like a Night Gallery episode or something.
No, I put it on everything that you guys did. It's some football kid. He went to homecoming and then fell asleep in his bed with his window open. This cockroach fell inside of his ear, and he could, for a few days, he could hear, like, crunching sounds.
Oh,
gave him a really bad headache.
I can imagine. Well, that does, I will say this, that does sound like exactly the kind of story we would read over and over and over again. I don't remember that, but it is, I will say this, it is possible that we've simply read so many horrifying stories about bugs crawling into orifices that that one's just been lost in my mental shuffle.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's like my mom used to pick hops and Malala and McKay, and every so often she would just have some horrible experience where she would set down her sandwich and then she would go to eat it later and it had been filled with red ants while she was working. Good times. Let's do one more and then we'll continue with the news here. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there.
Hello?
Hey, is this Jesse?
No, it's Judy.
Well, Jesse, Judy, whatever.
Okay.
J, two syllables, what are you going to do?
Sorry, just cleaned out the back room and found 14 episodes of soap.
Of the
yes, yes.
I'm sorry, you just cleaned out the back room of what?
Of my house.
And you found 14 episodes of the show started with Billy Crystal?
On VHS.
Fantastic.
No, the thing is, they didn't read the credits, or evidently I didn't tape it. Is that Mark Hamill playing the ventriloquist?
On soap?
Yeah.
Tim?
No, it isn't. It is somebody else.
No, he says it's not. He says it is not. I'm sure that somebody will let us know within mere moments who that is.
But oh,
that
my goodness.
Still performs on stage in New York. I can't think of his name.
All right.
My. I'm telling you, he looks so much like Mark Hamill from, you know, wasn't that the Star Wars guy's name?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not that much of a geek. But,
no, it's okay.
But he's working a puppet, and I could have, I'm telling you, I'm looking at him right now.
I think it is fantastic, by the way, that when you're cleaning out a closet and you discover old episodes of a 1980s sitcom, that your first thought when needing to identify an actor is to call this show.
I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you. That really,
and then pass it on.
It sounds strange, but that really does mean so much to me. I can't even express it, that this is the first thing you thought of to call.
Oh, yes, and I have one more.
Yes.
On those episodes, I have Wapner.
I actually have
Wapner.
But these are like first run episodes. These are like 86, 87. Now, are these with or without commercials?
Yeah, I think they're without because my papa did it for me.
That's too bad.
He would sit and do, well, there might be, I'm telling you, I've seen some with commercials and some without.
If you have some vintage videotapes in the 80s with the commercials, that'd be something I'd be interested in borrowing just so I could watch it. That would be fantastic.
It's really, I'm plugging them in one by one. I was just cleaning out the thing and I stopped cleaning just to plug.
Here's the thing that people don't really realize. You go back and you watch a lot of those videotapes that you may have laying around your house or they're in the basement or whatever. The commercials from vintage television tapes are actually a lot more entertaining than the shows themselves most of the time.
Yes, right. But I have to tell you, soap is quite entertaining.
Thank you.
That guy's name was Jay Johnson.
Jay Johnson. Tim says that guy's name was Jay Johnson.
Okay, thanks. That helps fill the blank in my mind for the rest of the night.
Well, we're all about filling your blank, Judy.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. There you go. Fantastic. I didn't even get a laugh for that. We're all about filling your blank. Judy. Come on.
I giggled.
Oh, you sons of bitches. That was funny. I'm going to give my own. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
There is a Jackson watch.
Here's your Jackson watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson program.
Jackson founded a party full of fans, impersonators, orphans, and handicapped children. He said he wouldn't change the path of his career despite attempts to hurt me. He was in Tokyo for several fan appreciation events and was the guest of honor at a party with about 400 people paying $3,500 each for the buffet supper, a show featuring Japanese Jackson impersonators and a chance to take photos of Jackson. More than 100 unfortunate orphans and handicapped children were invited free.
You would think at this point that Michael Jackson, well, he didn't perform any music. You would think that Michael Jackson would know at this point that he just shouldn't be photographed in a room full of 100 small orphans. Now, that's just the sort of thing that's not going to play well in the media.
They go like an old folks home and help them out.
Oh, no, those people are... They're soft, but that's all they've got going for them. All the old people have going for them is that they're nice and pliable. And the creepy thing about that, I mean, the other creepy thing about this story is that it was $3,500 to go to this Jackson party, for which he wouldn't sing, he didn't perform, but for $3,500 you would get, and I'm quoting now, you would get 30 seconds of FaceTime with him. That's the thing, like he would agree to speak with you for 30 seconds. For $3,500, which then begs the question of, like, whether he kept, like, a stopwatch in his hand or whether there was just some minder there who would, like, hustle you away after half a minute or so. There you go, $3,500, man. That guy's never going to go bankrupt. Not as long as the Asian countries exist. They love Michael Jackson over there.
Danny is expected to make a comeback with a string of gigs, as they say, across America. Estimated to earn him about $500,000.
Now, is this him or is this him... With, because I'd heard that the Jacksons, they talked about the Jacksons reforming. But
Jackson,
Is that this is the Jackson 5?
He's with the Trouble Singer in the final stages of negotiating a deal, which will see him joined on stage by the other members of the Jackson 5.
The Jackson 5 were Michael, Jermaine, Tito,
Marlon,
and Jackie. I don't even remember. Those are like the Shemp Jacksons.
There were six people on stage.
This is Zeppo Jackson. I don't even remember who Marlon is.
Marlon.
Mm-hmm. Hansel? I don't even remember. One of those other Jacksons do. What have they been doing this whole time? They can't be wealthy. The other Jacksons can't have that much money. Like, what has Tito Jackson done to support himself all these years? I mean, Michael Jackson is wealthy because he's Michael Jackson. Janet Jackson is wealthy because she's Janet Jackson. Even LaToya, who I don't really think had a music career of any kind. LaToya has made some infomercials. She did this. She was with the Psychic Friends Network. She posed in Playboy. But, like, if you're Marlon Jackson, who I think we can all agree none of us ever had heard of until, like, 10 seconds ago, what has that guy been doing to support himself? That's got to be a singular amount of frustration to be Michael Jackson's brother and to be working at, like, the rec center somewhere downtown for, you know, $4 an hour. Well, all right. Does it say that that's happening or they're just negotiating it?
They are negotiating.
All right, so keep an eye on Marlon Jackson. He's coming to your town soon. There's your Jackson watch for whatever the hell Thursday. Some more news here in just a second. Let me get, let's see, our good friend Kristen joining us. Hello, Kristen. How you doing, sister?
Well, howdy.
Hey.
Hey, about the Jimmy Crack Corn thing, I have been talking about this for weeks.
Now, did you hear Don and Mike talking about this last week?
You know, I have to say I did not.
Because I'm curious as to how they even got onto the subject.
You know what it might be? Now, this is just crazy. There's a commercial on TV right now for Singular Wireless.
Right.
And it's, you know, they're the least drop calls of any service, blah, blah, blah. So they have this commercial where there are two guys talking, a young guy and an old guy. And the old guy is the father-in-law, soon-to-be father-in-law. The young kid says, well, Mr. So-and-so. And the older guy says, oh, just call me Jim. The young guy says, okay, Jim, Jimbo, Jimmy Boy. And then he says, Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. And the phone call drops, ha ha, hilarity.
Right.
But the kid says, Jimmy Crack Corn. That was in the original commercial. If you see the commercial now, the Jimmy Crack corn part has been dropped from it.
Well, that does... That does
I kept thinking somebody must have complained because I always thought it was like a slavery type of, like I thought it was, you know, from working in the field.
Well, it does sound sort of slavey when, yeah. when you listen to it. Anything, look, I think we can all agree that any song that contains the phrase, my master's gone away, does have that little, it does have that hint of slavery to it. So
it's not a positive
No, it doesn't seem like a feel-good song, except in the most relative of senses.
Yeah, except it is kind of a peppy song, but yeah.
Well, the less said about that, the better, probably. All right, well, that would, if it was a TV, and this is a TV commercial, that would explain why Don and Mike were talking about it. They are very,
yeah, well, yeah, see, that's why it would make sense that they were talking about it, because I kept thinking, as soon as I saw it with the Jimmy Crack corn dropped, I thought, well, somebody must have complained. That was my first thought. So yeah. Maybe they found out something about it.
That's one of those things that, like, you know that nobody in marketing really figured out. And, you know, it's like that McDonald's ad campaign from, like, last year where there was the banner ad. That was all over the net of the guy looking at a cheeseburger, and it's like had the McDonald's logo, and the tagline was, like, I'd hit it. And
yeah.
No one really, like, you can tell that there was some guy in a marketing, you know, in a conference room who didn't really know what he was talking about. All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. That's our good friend, Kristen. What the hell was that? Where's that coming from? Yes?
It's the board. Never mind. I'll talk to Jeff about it.
All right. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Some poor lady was stabbed in the neck this morning. Happened at 5:30 in Southeast 3rd Avenue in Oak. Apparently, two homeless people got in an argument over what at 5:30. Who knows? She was treated at an area hospital, no word on her condition. Police have not made an arrest and have no suspect description at this time, but watch out for your neck if you're downtown early in the morning.
Excellent.
That poor guy who got shot, now he's paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh, are you the Belmont guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the screen capture, or not the screen capture, but the photo that the police
had? Yeah, he's a creepy looking guy.
He's a creepy looking bastard.
So how would you miss him if you had seen him?
And he does look like he has tattoos on his wrists and so forth. He's made creepy by the fact that he's wearing a hood, and I can't remember if he's got sunglasses on or not. But there's a frame from the surveillance video, which the police have now released. This is the shooting at the Belmont Market. It was obviously in Belmont, Belmont and 34th.
That looks...
Don't say it looks okay. Like somebody you know.
No, I won't then.
Does it?
It looks like a homeless guy that I see quite a bit.
Well he can't really be homeless, though, because he has a car. Because he's driving the orange Corvette, I think.
Yeah.
So,
right. Maybe that could be his friend's car.
Anyway, so the guy's paralyzed?
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. That sucks so much. I mean, I guess it could be worse. I guess it could be dead, but I mean, that seems like it's good news only, again, that it's just the most relative of senses. Ugh. All right. Well, that's depressing. All right. Do we have something cheery to follow that up with?
We do. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are about to expand their family.
God bless
Weekly
them.
Senior writer Joey Bartholomew says they wanted to adopt a playmate for their son, Maddox.
It gives Maddox someone older to play with and also someone who's from a similar area of the world that he's from, because he's from Cambodia. So they were looking to have kids, other people in their family who their kids could look at and relate to.
It appears that Jolie is getting some special treatment in the adoption, although the Vietnamese deny it.
You can be a married couple or a single person, but you can't be an unmarried couple. So she's doing it on her own, technically, but everyone knows Brad's going to be the father of this kid.
Yeah.
So the adoption of the Vietnamese boy is final. Pitt will then also adopt a child.
That's what Brad did with Maddox and Zahara, is after they, they were Angelina's to begin with, and then he's adopted them. So, you know, he'll probably do the same thing with the new one.
All right, there you go. Rick, see, and this is the last thing we'll do, because apparently it's well-traveled territory. And I guess my big thing was, like, where Donna Mike, why they were talking about, apparently it's a TV commercial. And the fact
Scotty
that
he actually sent me, I have the commercial.
Really? Do we have it?
The singular one?
Is this the singular one where it still contains?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. McDermott.
Call me Jim. You'll be my son-in-law in a few weeks.
Okay.
Jim? Well, I hope you can think of me as a buddy.
Sounds good, Jim.
Jimbo. Jimmy boy. The Jimster. Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care.
The idea that they're singular singing a slave song on television is just so horrifying.
Jim? I mean, Mr. McDermott?
Sir, switch to the network with the fewest dropped calls.
So the fact, so apparently now if you see that, and I guess they must have talked about this.
Yeah, all the comments in there are saying it was a lot funnier when they had that part in.
Yeah, it's hilarious, I'm sure. How would you, I would give anything, just as the last thing we'll say about it, and then I'll read a couple of emails and we'll break. I would give anything, anything on earth to have been in that conference room when they had a meeting where somebody went, you know, this is about slavery. Just, I would pay any price to have been there while the director of marketing was being told in front of the head of the company that it was about slavery. I think it's a prohibition song. The cracking of corn is part of the distilling process, and the not caring is in reference to the man. No, I think you're wrong about that. Rick, this is a slave song about uprising and killing Whitey and then drinking his booze. Fantastic. How about this? Rick, if those insects eat dead skin, there's probably more in the mattress than in the bathtub. Sweet dreams, Sarah Dillon. All right?
Oh, God.
And then this is the thing about that guy having his sack lit on fire. Well, we're just going to move off of that. It's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Jim Roop is going to talk to us about, one step closer to creating an army of bionic robots. And then we're going to ask him about this guy smuggling things inside his and LAX. Later on, Jen Lane, top five. Scotty J with a suburban perspective. Like us at 3. Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.